Welcome to So Ordered, where we create audio readings of SCOTUS decisions to make them more accessible to the public. At the time of creating this podcast, the Supreme Court of the United States does not release audio of the court's decisions. Our mission is to make it so the public can be better informed on decisions of the court by using AI to generate audio of written opinions. The case before us today is Case v. Montana, docket number 24624, decided January 14, 2026. Before reading the opinion itself, here is a brief summary of the case and the questions presented. Montana police officers responded to the home of petitioner William Case after his ex-girlfriend called 911 to report that he was threatening suicide and may have shot himself. After getting no response at the doors and windows and seeing an empty handgun holster and what looked like a suicide note inside, the officers entered the home without a warrant to render emergency aid. When Case emerged from a bedroom closet holding an object that looked like a gun, an officer shot and injured him. Case was charged with assaulting a police officer and moved to suppress the evidence obtained from the entry, but the trial court denied the motion, a jury convicted him, and a divided Montana Supreme Court upheld the entry as lawful, rejecting his argument that officers must have probable cause to believe an occupant needs emergency aid. The question presented was whether law enforcement may enter a home without a search warrant based on less than probable cause that an emergency is occurring, or whether the emergency aid exception requires probable cause. The court held Brigham City's objective reasonableness standard for warrantless home entries to render emergency aid applies without any further gloss, and it was satisfied here. The probable cause requirement is rooted in the criminal investigation context, and the court declined to transplant it onto the emergency aid exception. An officer may enter a home without a warrant when he has an objectively reasonable basis for believing that an occupant is seriously injured or imminently threatened with such injury, because the information the officers gathered from Case's ex-girlfriend, together with what they observed at the scene, gave them just such a basis to believe that Case may already have shot himself or would do so absent intervention, the court affirmed the judgment of the Montana Supreme Court. Justice Kagan delivered the opinion for a unanimous court. Justice Sotomayor and Justice Gorsuch each filed concurring opinions. As a reminder, the audio is an AI-generated reading of a published opinion of the Supreme Court of the United States. The voice you will hear has been synthesized to loosely resemble that of the justice that wrote the opinion. All tone, inflection, pacing, and emphasis are produced by the AI model and should not be attributed to any justice. The text itself has been lightly adapted to aid in the creation of the spoken delivery. This is a project to attempt to make court decisions more accessible to the public, and any substantive changes during the reading are completely unintentional. Please visit www.supremecourt.gov to read the opinion published by the court. You can find a link directly to the opinion in this episode's description. As the audio is AI-generated, you may hear some audio glitches, including odd pronunciation, noticeable pauses, or repeated words. We do our best to remove these and hope they do not impact your listening experience. The following is the opinion of the court in Case v. Montana.
In Brigham City v. Stewart, decided in 2006, this court held that police officers may enter a home without a warrant if they have an objectively reasonable basis for believing that someone inside needs emergency assistance. The question presented is whether that standard means that officers must have probable cause for the intrusion, as they typically would when investigating a crime. We hold it does not. The probable cause requirement is rooted in and derives its meaning from the criminal context, and we decline to transplant it to this different one. Brigham City's reasonableness standard means just what it says, with no further gloss. And here it was satisfied because the police had an objectively reasonable basis for believing that a homeowner intended to take his own life and, indeed, may already have shot himself. This case began with an alarming phone call from petitioner William Case to his ex-girlfriend, J.H., both residents of a small town in Montana. Case told J.H. on the call that he was going to kill himself. Because Case sounded erratic, J.H. assumed he had been drinking. She tried to talk Case out of committing suicide, but couldn't reel him back. With each passing moment, Case became more methodical about what he was going to do. Case said that he was going to get a note, presumably meaning a suicide note, for J.H. or others to find. And then J.H. heard a clicking sound, like the cocking of a gun. J.H. told Case she was going to call the police, but that seemed only to antagonize him. Case replied he would shoot them all too. Finally, J.H. heard a pop, followed by nothing, just dead air. She yelled Case's name a few times but got no response, leading her to think he had pulled the trigger. So she called 911 to report the incident and drove as fast as she could to Case's home. Three police officers, dispatched to do a welfare check on a suicidal male, met J.H. outside the house. They decided the situation was very serious, based both on what J.H. told them about the call and on what they already knew about Case. The officers were aware that Case had a history of alcohol abuse and mental health issues, that he had previously threatened suicide at the school where he worked, and that he had once seemed to attempt suicide by cop by confronting the police in a way that was likely to provoke a lethal response. So the three officers requested that the chief of police come to the scene. While waiting for him, they circled the house looking for signs of injury or danger. They knocked on the doors and yelled into an open window, but got no response. Shining their flashlights inside, they could make out empty beer cans, an empty handgun holster, and a notepad with writing on it, which they took to be the suicide note Case had mentioned to J.H. At that point, however, they saw no sign of Case. Once the chief came, the officers conferred and decided to enter the house to render emergency aid. In the best-case scenario, they hoped to talk Case down and prevent any injury. But given J.H.'s account, the officers considered as well another possibility that Case had already shot himself and might be in there bleeding. At the same time, they worried that if Case remained unharmed, their entry could spark a confrontation. So they equipped themselves with long-barrel guns and a ballistic shield before going in. The officers entered the house through the front door about 40 minutes after they first arrived. They announced themselves loudly and continued to call out as they walked through the home. Case did not answer. He was hiding in the closet of a bedroom upstairs. When one of the officers entered that room, Case threw open the closet curtain and appeared from behind it, holding a black object which looked like a gun. Fearing that he was about to be shot, the officer fired his own rifle. The bullet hit Case in the abdomen, and another officer rushed to administer first aid. An ambulance was called to take Case to the nearest hospital where he recovered. Meanwhile, one of the officers found a handgun in a laundry basket next to the place where Case had stood. The county attorney charged Case with assaulting a police officer. Case moved to suppress all evidence obtained as a result of the home entry, arguing that the police had violated the Fourth Amendment by coming into his house without a warrant. The trial court denied the motion on the ground that the police officers were responding legitimately to an emergency. A Montana jury then found Case guilty of the crime charged. On appeal, a divided Montana Supreme Court upheld the trial court's ruling that the officer's entry was lawful. The majority analyzed the issue under its community caretaker doctrine. It noted that a recent Fourth Amendment decision of this court, Coniglia v. Strom, decided in 2021, had rejected a community caretaking rule allowing a warrantless home entry even absent a need to render emergency assistance to an occupant. But the Montana court thought its community caretaker doctrine survived that holding because it demanded such an emergency. Under that doctrine, the court explained, police could enter a home to do a welfare check only when objective, specific, and articulable facts would lead an experienced officer to suspect that a person inside is in need of help or is in peril. And the court found that facts meeting that description existed here because of the likelihood of suicide. The court rejected Case's alternative standard that a police officer must have probable cause to believe the occupant in need of emergency aid. The probable cause locution, the court suggested, applies only when the police are engaged in a criminal investigation. The dissenting justices, by contrast, favored the proposed probable cause rule, which they concluded the officers here did not satisfy. In the dissent's view, the court's different approach resembled the mere reasonable suspicion standard applicable to comparatively non-invasive street stops. That standard, the dissent thought, was too easily met to support a warrantless entry into a home. We granted certiorari in 2025 because courts have differed on whether police officers entering a home to provide emergency aid need probable cause to believe that an occupant is in peril. We conclude that standard borrowed from the criminal context is inapt. We instead hold just what we have held before, that the officers may enter if, but only if, they have an objectively reasonable basis for believing that an occupant faces serious danger. The Fourth Amendment provides that the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. At the very core of that guarantee, as this court has often stated, stands the right of a man to retreat into his own home and there be free from unreasonable governmental intrusion. When the intrusion is into that most private place, reasonableness usually means having a warrant. It is a basic principle of Fourth Amendment law that searches and seizures inside a home without a warrant are presumptively unreasonable, but not always. The warrant requirement is subject to certain exceptions, and among those is one pertinent here, involving the need to provide an occupant with emergency aid. This court first approved a warrantless home entry to render emergency assistance in Brigham City. There, police officers responding to a noise complaint observed through a kitchen window a physical altercation between an adolescent and several adults. As they watched, the teenager punched one of the adults in the face, sending him to the sink spitting blood. The officers immediately entered the home through a nearby screen door and, announcing their presence, caused the fight to cease. We unanimously approved the warrantless entry as reasonable under the circumstances, and we explained what made it so. The officers had an objectively reasonable basis for believing that an occupant was seriously injured or imminently threatened with such injury. 3 years later, in Michigan v. Fisher, we reiterated what we had said in Brigham City about the emergency aid exception. The police in Fisher, also responding to a neighbor's report, found a scene redolent of violence and danger. Three windows were broken, with the glass strewn on the ground outside. Blood was smeared on one of the doors, as well as on the smashed-in hood of a pickup truck in the driveway, and, visible through a window, a man inside the house was screaming and throwing things at an unseen target. We held that the officer's entry in those circumstances was reasonable under the Fourth Amendment, just as it had been in Brigham City. Using the same standard articulated there, we concluded that the officers had an objectively reasonable basis for believing that an occupant of the home needed immediate aid. Finally, in Coniglia, we reaffirmed Brigham City even as we rejected a broader community caretaking justification for warrantless home entries. The police had gone to Edward Coniglia's home after his wife reported that he was suicidal. Coniglia spoke with the officers on his front porch and agreed to go to a hospital for psychiatric testing. Then, once he had left, the officers went inside and took away two handguns he owned. The lower courts approved the entry on the ground that the officers were performing community caretaking functions. But we declined to recognize such an open-ended license for law enforcement officers to enter private homes. Citing Brigham City, we readily acknowledged that officers may enter a home to render emergency assistance to an injured occupant or to protect an occupant from imminent injury. But such emergency conditions were indeed necessary, and, given the facts, the officers had never tried to defend their entry on that basis. The Montana Supreme Court's opinion strayed from the Fourth Amendment rule that trio of decisions sets out. To begin with, the court's use of community caretaker doctrine was ill-advised, given that Coniglia contrasted community caretaking with rendering emergency assistance and concluded that the former cannot alone justify a warrantless home entry. The Montana court, to be sure, tried to reconcile its approach with Coniglia by depicting its community caretaker rule as allowing home entries only in emergencies. But using terminology that this court has held misplaced in home entry cases could serve only to confuse the issue. And yet more fundamental, the emergency aid test incorporated in Montana's caretaker doctrine is different from the one adopted in Brigham City. As noted above, Montana's test finds a home entry reasonable when an officer has specific and articulable facts from which to suspect that someone needs help. That test's language, as the dissenting justices noted, evokes the Fourth Amendment standard applying to brief, investigative street stops, reasonable suspicion, based on specific and articulable facts. But Brigham City did not adopt Terry's reasonable suspicion standard for home entries, as both the state of Montana and the United States as amicus curiae acknowledge. Rather, Brigham City formulated its own standard for dealing with household emergencies, again, whether an officer has an objectively reasonable basis for believing that an occupant is seriously injured or imminently threatened with such harm. Case, however, wants something more. He recognizes that the Brigham City test applies here and that it has had but one formulation. In describing and applying that standard, we have never used any different terms. But still, Case urges us now to understand the Brigham City test as sounding in probable cause. What the test really requires, Case contends, is that police officers have probable cause to believe an occupant is seriously injured or imminently threatened with such injury. Case reaches that conclusion based mainly on the Fourth Amendment's recognition of the sanctity of the home. Given that special status, he argues, a home entry's aid-giving, non-investigatory purpose should make no difference. The same probable cause principles used in deciding whether criminal activity is afoot should apply as well in assessing the risk and gravity of an emergency. We decline Case's invitation to put a new probable cause spin onto Brigham City. The probable cause standard, this court has often stated, is peculiarly related to criminal investigations. The standard's history is rooted in the criminal investigatory context, and the standard has acquired meaning over time by virtue of that context, as judges have assessed, in case after case, the requisite likelihood of finding criminal contraband or evidence. The resulting body of law would fit awkwardly, if at all, in the non-criminal, non-investigatory setting at issue here. So Brigham City adopted a different approach. Rather than strain to relate probable cause decisions to emergency aid situations, we asked simply whether an officer had an objectively reasonable basis for believing that his entry was direly needed to prevent or deal with serious harm. In adhering to that question, we respect, as ever, the first among equals, status the Fourth Amendment affords the home. And in that vein, we note that an emergency aid entry provides no basis to search the premises beyond what is reasonably needed to deal with the emergency while maintaining the officer's safety. But we assess the reasonableness of that limited entry on its own terms, rather than through the lens generally used to consider investigative activity. Doing so here yields a ready conclusion. The officers had, as Brigham City requires, an objectively reasonable basis for believing that their intervention was needed to prevent serious harm. As earlier described, the officers knew firsthand that Case suffered from mental health and alcohol abuse problems, and that he had previously talked about committing suicide. When they reached Case's house, they learned about J.H. and Case's just concluded phone call, that Case, in an apparently inebriated state, threatened to kill himself, spoke of preparing a suicide note, and quite possibly cocked or even shot a gun before the line went dead. The concerns that call raised were heightened by what the officers could see through the windows, empty beer cans, an empty holster, and a notepad, as well as by Case's failure to respond to their urgent knocking. If Case had already shot himself, he could have been severely injured and in need of immediate medical care. And if he had not, the risk of suicide remained acute, given all the facts then known to the officers. It was thus objectively reasonable for the police to believe that Case needed emergency aid. Case counters that only the police entry itself created a likely danger. His argument turns on the prospect of suicide by cop. As noted earlier, Case had once before acted in a way seemingly designed to provoke a lethal police response, as the officers knew. And J.H. told the officers that Case had threatened to shoot them all too if they came to the scene. So the main risk the officers objectively faced, Case posits, was that their very entry would induce a shootout, leading to a suicide by cop. And indeed, Case contends, the officers knew that. Why else would they have waited roughly 40 minutes after their arrival before entering his home? Case concludes that if the officers had only left well enough alone, nothing would have happened. But Case much oversimplifies a complex situation. The objective reasonableness of an officer's conduct under Brigham City, as in other Fourth Amendment contexts, is evaluated by looking at the totality of the circumstances. One of those circumstances was no doubt that Case could provoke a confrontation. As noted earlier, that was partly why the officers called the police chief to the scene and why they carefully considered protective measures, leading to some delay in their entry. But there is no basis for thinking that the officers would have gone into Case's home just so he could instigate a gunfight. The circumstances making their entry reasonable, as just stated, were those suggesting that Case may already have shot himself or would do so absent intervention. The statements Case made to J.H. plus the visual evidence corroborating them indicated that Case wanted to end his life. The decision of the officers to enter his home to prevent that result, even at some significant risk to themselves, was, at the least, reasonable. The Fourth Amendment did not require them, as Case now argues, to leave him to his fate. We repeat today what we have held before. An officer may enter a home without a warrant if he has an objectively reasonable basis for believing that an occupant is seriously injured or imminently threatened with such injury. The officer's entry satisfied that test. Accordingly, we affirm the judgment, even though not all the reasoning of the Montana Supreme Court. It is so ordered.